Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Best of the Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK. Hot start to the weekend. Going to be hot next week, going into the 4th of July. So, without question, without a doubt, you got to get to Brewers Outlet. Steve Jones Show, our Friday sponsor always, Brewers Outlet, the beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Had a blast a couple of weeks ago during their 50th anniversary celebration. And now we got America's birthday celebration less than a week away. So, no-brainer, you got to get there and stock up because you need those cold, refreshing beverages and specials happening through Tuesday. 24-pack cans of Miller Lite, $12.95. 24-pack 16-ounce cans of Labatt's, $17.97. And Seagram's 12-pack cans, only $10.99. Great lineup of domestics and import beers. Sodas, water, and of course the snacks, the chips, the pretzels, the peanuts, fresh roasted peanuts, and the pickle bar too, all at Brewers Outlet on Reagan Street in Sunbury. And of course, we're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Steve will be back with us for a brand new show on Monday. Of course, we'll have four new shows next week. I will take Wednesday off for the 4th of July. Now, the Phillies will have a mid-afternoon game next Wednesday for the 4th. But, of course, right in front of them now is Game 2 of the four-game weekend set against the Washington Nationals. Excellent job last night by Aaron Nola on the mound, and tonight it's going to be Nick Pivetta, his turn to take the bump for the Fightins. And ironically enough, Pivetta was acquired by the Phillies from Washington in exchange for reliever Jonathan Papelbon during the 2015 season. Now, in four starts against the Nationals, Pivetta is 0-2 with a 9.19 ERA. His May 4th start against the Nationals has a lot to do with the high ERA because he gave up six runs in one inning. Last night it was a 4-3 win for Philly. Now at 43-36, Phillies are two games ahead of the Nationals, and they are two games behind Atlanta, currently sitting at the top of the National League East. Philadelphia has won its last two games with Rhys Hoskins homering in both. Last night, Hoskins going 3-for-4 with a homer and a double and a two-run homer, his 13th of the season. Gabe Kapler last night post-game said Rhys had another huge homer for us. Team has improved to 4-3 on the year against Washington. Hoskins, only 25 years old, currently hitting .329, 7 homers, 20 RBIs in 18 games in June. So he has done all of that since breaking his jaw last month. And Todd Zielecki, Phillies baseball writer for MLB.com, tweeted it out on social media yesterday. Just for the first time this week, Hoskins had a chance to eat solid food. He chose a cheeseburger. Washington managed only three runs last night, two in the ninth, so it was a little shaky there. But then Sir Anthony came in to shut the door of two strikeouts to finish the game for the Fightins. So game two of the four-game set will be tonight. We'll have it for you on 1070 AM. On Deck will be up and running at 6:30 with JJ. And then Scott Fransky and LA will have the call beginning at 7:05 here on WKOK. Tomorrow will be a 5:30 airtime for game three of the weekend set. And then first pitch on Sunday will be at 1 p.m. and then first pitch at 1:35 before the Phillies have a quick two-game set with the Baltimore Orioles on the 3rd and on the 4th of July. Couple of NFL notes to clean up here. Jameis Winston has been suspended for the first three games of the 2018 NFL season. An investigation found that the Tampa Bay quarterback inappropriately touched a female Uber driver in Scottsdale, Arizona, but this occurred back in March of 2016. NFL said in its statement, Winston's required to obtain a clinical evaluation and fully cooperate with any recommended therapeutic intervention program. And if Winston does not comply, could result in further discipline. Steelers play Tampa Bay week 3. So at this point, Winston will not play against the Steelers. And by the way, you're home for Pittsburgh Steelers again this season, 100.9 The Valley, 100.9 FM. And one more sports note here for you from earlier this week. The National Football League has fined former Carolina Panthers owner Jerry Richardson $2.75 million following its investigation into sexual and racial misconduct in the workplace. The league said the investigation was conducted by a former United States attorney, Mary Jo White. She substantiated the allegations against Richardson. The improper conduct was limited to him, and that the team and its ownership failed to report the allegations or any resolution agreements to the league. Richardson put the team up for sale after a Sports Illustrated report in December that Richardson made sexually suggestive comments to women on at least one occasion, directed a racial slur at an African-American Panthers scout. And the report also stated settlements came with non-disclosure requirements forbidding the parties from discussing the details. Richardson has an agreement to sell the Panthers for a league record $2.2 billion to hedge fund president and owner David Tepper, who is a minority owner for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Of course, that will change once he takes full ownership of the Panthers. The league owners unanimously approved the sale last month. NFL officials say that the sale is expected to close within the next 2 weeks. All right, we're going to wrap up our Best of Steve Jones show this week here on WKOK with John McMillan from ESPN New Jersey. We'll get some NFL talk going with John and leaning toward the Philadelphia Eagles. We spoke with John right after the NFL draft in late April. Also, we will have from the sporting news and Big Ten Network, great college basketball writer and commentator and analyst for Big Ten Network, Mike DeCourcy, be talking about the Rice Commission that came down and their report a few months ago. And then we will finish out the week strong since Steve's brother Kevin Jones has the afternoon off. We've got to finish strong. We've got to get a heavy hitter in here, so we figured we'll go back to September 2016 and replay Steve's fantastic interview with Penn State football legend Mike Reed. All right, so we mentioned the Rice Commission report that was released in late April. Steve had some thoughts on that following the release of the report.
The Rice Commission today, let's get started with that, the Rice Commission today did release its findings. Now, do I think they did a good job? Yeah, I think they did a good job. Could they have been bolder? Yeah, I think they could have been bolder. Okay? Maybe the thought process was, hey, we'll take these steps. But I think we're at the point where bold doesn't hurt. How about that? I think we're at that point. Bold doesn't hurt. So let me give you an example of good step and versus bold, okay? They recommend for college basketball that if you go undrafted, if you put your name into the NBA draft and you keep your name in the NBA draft and you don't get drafted, which is a distinct possibility for, let's say, 75% of the underclassmen to put their name in. I'll give you the numbers in a moment. You should be able to go back to school and keep playing. Good. Right? I've talked about that many times. Let me give you the numbers. This year, there are 231 individuals who will put their name into the NBA draft that would be considered, quote, underclassmen. Of those 231, 178 are from American colleges. The rest are overseas. Well, of those 178, 87 of them have agents. So that means they've made the move. Okay, so I've gone 231 to 178 to 87. Now here's the last part. There are only 60 spots. So you're going to have a whole bunch. You're going to have, at minimum, 27 players not drafted that signed with an agent. At minimum. And you and I both know it's going to be far more than that. There's only 60 spots. That's where this gets to be a bit on the ridiculous side. So bold is, hey, you're not drafted. Go back. Like it. Bolder would be, hey, you don't like even where you got drafted? You can go back. Like, let the student-athlete have some options here. Let them have options. So I think they made a really good step. Could the step have been bigger? Yeah, it could have been bigger. But I do say that what Secretary Rice did and her commission did was certainly a step in the right direction. Now, there's five major areas that they looked at. Two of them they have no control over. So 40% of this is just, hey, look, we're going to get it out there as to how we feel. I understand that, but at the same time, they can't do anything about it. The one-and-done rule. All right, at least you're putting it out there that when it comes to one-and-done, you're not in favor. Let them, if you want to go from high school straight in, go ahead. That's perfectly fine. It's fine to articulate it. That way everybody knows on the record where you stand. Got it. But the NCAA has zero to do with the one-and-done rule. I always love when I hear the words college basketball's one-and-done rule. It is not college basketball's one-and-done rule. College basketball has zero to do with the one-and-done rule. It's an NBA rule. It's when I was talking about LeBron James the other day. LeBron James is going on and on and on about a month ago about, the NCAA is corrupt and the one-and-done thing. LeBron, it's your players' association, the one that you pay dues to, the one that you're the vice president of. You negotiated this with the owners, the people that pay your salaries. That's where it all resides. They're the ones that have to change the rule. And regardless of a recommendation like this, in all likelihood, experts will tell you that the NBA still is maybe 2 years away from changing that rule. But at least they have it down on paper. Allowing underclassmen to return to school, yeah, absolutely in favor of it. But I'd still be in favor of it even if it meant you got drafted, you don't like it, we got drafted. I know this creates problems for coaches. That I do understand. Because you're trying to craft your roster. Because I'd be in favor of this in football, too. But you're trying to craft your roster. And it would cause logistical problems. I got that. But figure out a way to make that work. Agents should be allowed. Okay. It's currently against NCAA rules for college prospects and college players to establish a formal relationship with an agent. Okay, this is basketball. Basketball and football are like this. Baseball, you're allowed to have an advisor. Hockey, you're allowed to have an advisor. Football and basketball, you're not. I think that would be very important for the NCAA, and I agree with this. I think the commission does a great job with this. We recommend the NCAA and its member institutions develop strict standards for certifying agents and allow only those NCAA-certified agents to engage with student-athletes at an appropriate point in their high school careers as determined by the NCAA. And again, NCAA-certified agents. They say the NCAA should appoint a vice president-level executive who, among other responsibilities, would develop these standards and administer this program. Okay, I think it's a great recommendation. Overhaul the Summer League so-called AAU enterprise. Again, this goes back to the NBA and the one-and-done. How the heck do you control the AAU? I mean, you can talk about Under Armour, Nike, and Adidas all you want. You notice everybody is taking the checks and taking their money. The only way to put them out of this thing, right, is to have the NBA, USA Basketball, and the NCAA have them put together certified, regulated summer leagues and get the apparel groups out of it. If the apparel group still wants to have it, don't allow your coaches to go to it. That they can only go to certified NBA, NCAA, and USA Basketball administered summer leagues. That's how you get them out of it. At least put them on the path to getting them out of it. And then there's the part about penalties. The part about penalties is important. Now, let's go bold and bolder. All right? Increase the competition penalties for Level 1 violations to allow a 5-year postseason ban. All right, now I'll get to this in a moment. I'll just at least tell you what they are. Increase the financial penalties for Level 1 violations to allow loss of all revenue sharing in postseason play, including revenue from the NCAA tournament. Well, that is the only revenue you have. It's the NCAA tournament. What, are you getting money from wrestling? No. Increase the penalties for a show cause order to allow bans of more than one season. Increase the restrictions on head coaches to allow bans of more than one season. Increase the penalties for recruiting visit violations to allow full year visit bans. All right. This is where, in my opinion, they're on the right track, but they come up short. Like I said, bold and bolder. As you know, I have maintained for years, in fact, decades, that I'm sick and tired of the program is on probation. So you've got, well, let's take a basketball team. You've got 13 players on the team. One is illegally recruited, the whole thing. But the other 12, you can't go to the NCAA tournament. Stop. Okay. Part of what an investigation should be is as follows. It should be who did it. Which coach was involved? Did an administrator know? Who is the player or players involved? Only go after the individuals that are guilty. For the student athlete, it should be permanent ban from playing in the NCAA. And, you know, the part about how you can go back years later and still be on scholarship and get your degree? No. You're found to be in violation. You no longer will play. Get a job in the NCAA. Nor can you come back and get your degree unless you pay like all the other students. Okay? As for the coach, there are different levels. To me, the different levels have to be 1-year ban, 5-year ban, lifetime ban. Or you can't do any of that. So 1-year ban, 5-year ban, lifetime ban. Multiple offenders, lifetime ban. Right? And as for investigative bodies, they'd like an independent investigative body. That's nice, except here's the problem. Why do we have all the information that we have on this NCAA investigation? Because it's the FBI doing it. Okay. What does the FBI have that an independent investigator doesn't have? Subpoena power. And that's the issue with these investigations. You don't have subpoena power. And that's a problem. If somebody doesn't want to talk, they don't have to talk. But go after the individuals that are involved. Said coach offers money to said player. I don't care if it's through a shoe company, whatever it may be, you're done. That's it. You're finished. You're out. Athlete who accepted money, yeah, you're out. And when I mean you're out, that means you cannot come back. You know, you cannot be on scholarship to get your degree later. You can never get a job in the NCAA, right? You're done. You're finished. If you want to go back to school and get your degree in something, get your degree, you pay for it like everybody else. Yeah? Believe me, you know, these are, for the most part, are there certain individuals that are naive? Yes. I completely do get that. But the vast majority of these young people that are coming in are not naive. They see dollar signs. Their parents see dollar signs. And it is a problem. It is a problem. We have a lot of people who do a lot of talking. But you're done. I mean, instead of like, oh, the program's on probation, don't stop punishing people who had nothing to do with it. Punish people who have something to do with it. Oh, I found that ridiculous over the years. I'm sorry, you can't go to the tournament, but we didn't do anything wrong. Well, you know, the innocent have to pay for the sins of the few. What? Hey. And Mark Emmert says they'll vote on this a little bit later in the summer. He needs them to vote on a lot of this later in the summer because this is part of saving his job. We will come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Celebrate America with America's Best Value Summer Event at Sunbury Motors Kia. I wanna see you in a Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia. As summer heats up, so do the special offers at Sunbury Motors Kia. The best season of the year deserves America's best value. And there's no better value than 20 new 2018 Kias for under 20 grand. You heard right. Sunbury Motors Kia has 20 new 2018 Kia Rios, Optimus Souls, and Fortes for under 20 grand. But that's not all. Get 0% financing for 66 months on most 2018 Kia models. Plus, all include the industry-leading 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Celebrate America with America's best value summer event at Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf and online at sunburymotorskia.com.
Offer expires 6/30/18. Financing offers exclude Kia Stinger, Cadenza, and Rio and are for qualified buyers through K&F Financing. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to kia.com.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai, North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Our best of week wrapping up. Sean Carey here in our Friday edition of the Steve Jones Show, always brought to you by Brewers Outlet, the Beverage Supermarket, Reagan Street in Sunbury. Great specials so you can stay cool during the heat wave. Now through Tuesday, Miller Lite 24-pack cans, $12.95. Labatt 24-pack 16-ounce cans, $17.97. And Seagram's 12-pack cans, $10.99. Stop in and wish them a happy anniversary. Looking good at 50 Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And of course, more than just beer, sodas, snacks, water, ice. Get the ice this weekend. Maybe you got some kids that are involved in some baseball tournaments. They're going to need ice this weekend. And snacks, too. Chips, pretzels, and, of course, fresh roasted peanuts in the pickle bar. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. After our shows live on WKOK, we drop them as podcasts, so we invite you to subscribe to our Steve Jones Show podcast, available on both Apple Podcast app, iTunes, Google Play. Just search Steve Jones Show. Website, stevejonesshow.com. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, Twitter handle at Steve Jones PSU. So we were talking about the Rice Commission last half hour. Coming up next hour, we'll have more on that topic with Mike DeCourcy of Big Ten Network and the Sporting News. And we'll wrap up our best of week at 4:35 with Steve's classic conversation back to September 2016 with Penn State football legend Mike Reed. We have NFL talk now. Had a chance right after the draft in late April to speak to John McMillan from ESPN New Jersey.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right, let's start with this. How'd you feel about the maneuvering that Howie Roseman did to get the Eagles in a position to make some of the picks they did?
Well, he didn't have a ton to work with, and that's an issue, obviously, and Howie kind of admitted that after the draft. But I think he saw an opportunity to do a number of things, and you know, I kind of wrote, you have to put the context on this draft, and it really starts way back when the Eagles acquired Carson Wentz. But so many veteran players, Ronald Darby last year, the fact that they moved down this year enabled them to re-sign Darren Sproles. So once you add all of that into the context, you know, in a way it's already been validated, and that happened back in February in Minneapolis. Eagles have the Lombardi Trophy. But if you look at it in a vacuum, Eagles only had five picks. They came into the process with six, ended up with five. Compared to other teams around the league, didn't add a lot of talent. But again, you have to add everything else into it. And from that perspective, it's already proven to be very successful for the Eagles.
Also didn't mess around again. There's obviously a belief in this organization you can't have enough secondary people, especially corners. Is that about how you look at how the Eagles seem to treat the secondary?
Well, I think the NFL as a whole, if you think about the way the game has evolved and all the spread concepts and the 11 personnel in this league, you got to have five corners minimum. And sometimes you need more than that. So, I've called this a luxury draft for the Eagles. If you look at Dallas Goedert at the top in the second round, he's really a redundancy to Zach Ertz. If you look at Josh Sweat, he's really a prospect for 2019 and beyond. In the seventh round, you take the Australian kid who plays rugby, Jordan Mailata, obviously. He's for down the road. The one prospect potentially that can get on the field this year is Avante Maddox, the cornerback from Pitt. And that's because the Eagles need a slot corner. Patrick Robinson left in free agency. Darrell Worley obviously had the incident in South Philadelphia, release signed in Oakland. He's not going to be around. And everybody on hand, Jalen Mills, Ronald Darby, Rasul Douglas, Sidney Jones, those are all outside cornerbacks. So they need a slot cornerback, and at least Avante Maddox has the measurables to do that. Yeah. We'll see if he can get on the field this year.
Well, I've watched him play twice in person. I would not be enamored. In all seriousness, it's like I think he does some things well, but I think that's a work in progress.
Fourth round pick.
It's a fourth round pick.
Definition of a fourth round pick.
Yeah, it's fine. He wouldn't have been on my board. I've watched him play twice in person. I just wasn't enamored with him.
It's interesting. Now, well, you have to understand the NFL draft is about projection. Maddox played on the outside at Pitt. He's 5'9" kid. So from Joe Douglas' perspective, he's not going to play on the outside in the NFL.
He's not.
So he's got to project inside. And what you do is you try to find something he does well. Does he have short area quickness? Does he have the traits to move inside? And then it's up to the coaching staff to sort of get that out of him. But as I said, just from the perspective of this draft, you know, which of those five kids has an opportunity to get on the field for the Philadelphia Eagles?
Well, based on Dallas, that spot, yeah.
Yeah. Dallas is going to get out there a little bit. But, again, are you going to play Zach Ertz and him at the same time? If you do, you're going to have some issues with pass protection.
It
looks great from a video game perspective. It looks great in, say, matchup, but somebody's got to block somebody, especially when your quarterback is going to be wearing a knee brace and isn't going to have his typical mobility.
Right. Hey, what about the free agent signing of Adams, the running back under Notre Dame?
Well, I think that's a very good signing. Obviously, for undrafted, that's a kid who I think, if everybody saw the Eagles draft him in the fourth round, they would have been happy. He had a draftable grade by just about everybody. You pay him $50,000, which is a lot for an undrafted free agent. You bring him in here, and hopefully he can develop into something. Can lightning strike twice? They did it last year with Corey Clement. We'll see, but it's certainly worthwhile because, you know, people kind of forget he had a late season slump. Mid-season, he was in the Heisman Trophy race at Notre Dame. Now, part of it, you look at that offensive line he was running behind. Quentin Nelson was the sixth overall pick. Mike McGlinchey was the ninth overall pick, so they're pretty good. But he's coming to a Philadelphia Eagles team that has a really good offensive line. So who knows?
Yeah, no, exactly. When it came to Clement, again, we'll go back to the fact that I saw him play in Perth. Loved him when I saw him. I thought when the Eagles got him last year, I thought that's a pretty savvy signing because they just liked I thought that Corey Clement in college was far greater as an all-around player than I think a lot of people realized.
Well, he got here, and I had the opportunity to see him from day one through the Super Bowl and see the way he improved. And when the Eagles got him, they told him to lose weight. They said, look, you need to add some quickness if you're going to last in this league. And to his credit, he lost about 10 pounds from OTAs to training camp. And the thing about coming from Wisconsin, same thing with Josh Adams, it's almost eerie. They weren't asked to catch the football at all. And Corey really struggled with it in practice, in training camp, and he just worked and worked and worked. And by the time he was in the Super Bowl, he's making plays as a receiver. He was the team's third down back. So you have to give him a ton of credit for working at his craft. He was a great runner at Wisconsin. They didn't ask him to do much else, and he became a pretty well-rounded player by the time he was at the end of his rookie season. And now as he goes into year two, he's like a no-doubt-about-it guy. He's not fighting for a roster spot. Right. He's part of this team, and it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it is pretty amazing. Now, John, I want to ask you about how the area felt about it. Because let's face it, you've got a lot of programs out there that the draft, here's our chance, here's our opportunity. I sense over the years Philadelphia felt like that. Was there as much interest in the draft this time around? Because you know what? They are the defending Super Bowl champions, and they got almost everybody back.
Well, I got to tell you, This is first and foremost in Eagles town, and the Sixers are making a pretty significant run in the NBA right now. But this team, they're just the station I'm on in South Jersey. I'll give an example. I'm a nobody. I'm on every day.
Well, we don't think so. I asked you on the show.
I'm on every day, and we put. On-demand interviews on the website, and every single day my spots get more than Jim Lynam, Ben Simmons, any Sixer we have on, simply because I'm talking about the Eagles. It's not because of me. It's because people want Eagles news, and they want it when they won the Super Bowl. They want it when they last year when they were 7-9 and nobody had any idea they were going to make this run. They love this football team. So, yeah, there was significant interest. There was disappointment when they traded out from 32. I don't think people realized at the time what Howie was trying to do. He was trying to not only move down to get more picks, didn't end up that way, but he also didn't want that first-round contract because he wanted that extra money to be able to re-sign Darren Sproles. So, yeah, I mean, people are interested in the Eagles, and it just doesn't stop.
And it's interesting because I'm watching 32 come up on the board, and I'm thinking they would be so smart. I thought he manipulated his situation as well as anybody out there. And I thought re-signing Sproles was one of those. I thought that to me was a great move. I don't know what you thought. What do you have to lose with this guy? Because he's brought so much.
Yeah, well, Doug Peterson really, really wanted him back, and Howie kind of joked about it at his press conference after the draft. He would say Doug would stick his head in his office twice a day and say, when are we getting Darren back? He's just a reliable player, and Doug trusts him. If you go back, he got hurt in week three, but if you go back for the first 2 weeks, and we talk about this running back by committee, people kind of forget. Darren Sproles was the leader of that. Even though he's obviously got size limitations, he's going to be 34 years old. But he's a physical freak. He keeps himself in excellent condition. And the second part is special teams. He's one of the best punt returners in history. And obviously on this team. So one of the disappointments is you're nitpicking because they won the Super Bowl. But from the Eagles coaching perspective and Doug Peterson and Dave Phipps, the special teams coach, they were disappointed with special teams. And part of it was the reason Darren Sproles wasn't there. And you kind of lost that explosion in the return game. That'll be back. His ability as a third down back. We talked about Corey Clement earlier and how he improved, and I give him all the credit in the world, but he's not Darren Sproles as a third down back. And now all of a sudden they have that back. So Doug is very excited, and Darren didn't want to go out that way with the torn ACL and the broken arm on the same play. So he'll be back for one more season, and I think it makes a very deep team even better.
You know, it's interesting, John, because if I had $100 for every time Jack Ham mentioned Darren Sproles to me, okay, you and I would be eating at the best restaurant in because again, as a linebacker who had to cover running backs like that, he appreciates what a guy like Sproles can do. Next part of this, I'll make this the last question. What do you know about the rugby player?
Well, I got to talk to him after the draft on the conference call. I mean, basically, he's a measurables guy. He's 6'8". He's 350. He's got 10% body fat. Now, think about that. That's incredible. He's got 35.5-inch arms. So,
I've got that body fat in my hand, John.
If you want to whatever, you know, anybody listening to this, to their deity, the good Lord above, and ask him to create a tackle on the NFL, he'd come back with somebody the size of Jordan Mailata. But there's a lot of guys. If that's all it took to play in the NFL, every Olympic sprinter would be a wide receiver. Mark Henry, if you're a wrestling fan, he'd be the best nose tackle in the history of football. But he's not, because there's technique involved and you have to understand the play of the game. So he's an extreme, extreme long shot. He's certainly not going to make the team this year. The best case scenario is a year on the practice squad and then try to make it in 2019. But when you're in the seventh round, and you have the luxury of being as deep as the Eagles, and that's why I called it a luxury draft. You can sort of take chances like this. And if it hits, you're going to look like a genius. If it doesn't, people are going to forget about it in a year because it's a seventh-round pick.